Morning, I want to ask you, what time is it? Does anybody know what time it is? Time, or knowing the time, seems to mean a whole lot to us. When you first wake up in the morning, what do? You find out what time it is. Or if somebody were to call you in the middle of the night, you know what your first question is? Do you know what time it is? We have watches and clocks to tell us the time all day, and seem like that we refer to the clock or the watch. I know sometimes you ask somebody, are you hungry? They won't say if it's time for them to be hungry. Television and radio, computers, telephones can tell us what time it is. When we were in Germany, sometimes when I wasn't around a clock and I need to know what time it is, I call time on the radio, on the telephone, and they'd tell me what time it is. But the time of day, even though it's important to us, there's other times that we need to be aware of. For example, how much time has passed in your life up to this point? And how much time do you have left in your life? Where am I in relation to eternity? Well, you could certainly say, well, I'm closer to eternity now than I've ever been before. Well, what does that mean to you? Are you more prepared now for eternity than you were before? Is the time, extra time that the Lord giving you, allowing you to prepare even more for your eventual death? And are you preparing? Are you living better than you used to live? Are you more loving than you used to be? Are you doing more in the service of God than you used to do? Do you have a better attitude than you used to have? Life is very brief. There are many scriptures that you could refer to. James said it's just like a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. There was a soldier on the battlefield one time that had been very gravely wounded, and they wanted to know if he was living or if he'd died. And they couldn't really tell, and one of the other soldiers put a mirror close to his nose and mouth to see if any breath was coming out. And he looked at the mirror, and there was a little bit of vapor on there, and then it was gone. That's what James was talking about. Job said, my days are swifter than a post. A post, the people that ran and carried messages here and there. Said they flee away and they see no good. He recognized the fact that he was living in a wicked, vile world. And we know today that the world we're living in is very, very wicked. People are moving away from God in droves. Our government is assisting in people moving away from God. They won't allow the Ten Commandments in a government building. They won't allow prayers, for the most part, in public assemblies. They won't allow the name of God even spoken in schools. And they used to have prayer in schools. They used to have Bible reading in schools. And I don't know of any school violence like there has been in the last few years during the time when they had prayer in Bible reading school. Now think about that. Violence has taken the place of reverence for God, not only in schools, but in the world in general. What did I do? Each one of us now is asking ourselves, what did I do with the time that I have already been on the earth? What have I accomplished? When you look back on your own life, what kind of life has it been? The Ephesians said, or Paul told the Ephesians, that in their past they lived in lusts and pleasures. That's what filled their lives. The Corinthians were the same way. They had idol worship and vain things that filled their lives. A prostitution, public prostitution, was a very prominent part of their idol worship. I mean, and eating things offered to idols, and encouraging other people to bow down to idols. Very, very a wicked past that they had to overcome. Then you say, well, can I make up for all of this? Well, not fully. But you can, in your life now, we learn, we gain wisdom throughout the years. And now, by wise living, we can, to an extent, redeem the time. Paul tells us this in Colossians 5:16, or Ephesians 5:16, also Colossians 4 and 5. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. You can do everything that it's humanly possible for you to do in the service of the Lord now. Because you think, I've wasted 10 years. I've wasted 20 years. I've wasted 30 years. And now, I got to make up the best I can for all of those years and spend as much time as I can in the service of the Lord and helping my neighbor, being good to people, doing what you can to enrich their lives. Then you ask yourself, how many hours or days do I have left on the earth? Well, your answer immediately would be, well, I don't know. Well, no, we don't know. But if today is your last day, are you ready to stand before the Lord in judgment? Or are there things in your life that need to be corrected, things that you need to do before you die? Well, when are you going to do those things? The Apostle Paul said, now is accepted time, today is the day of salvation. Is there going to be a tomorrow? I don't know. You know, you can grow old, grow sick, become sick and die very quickly. We all know that. You can have a heart attack and die instantly. Or you can contract some kind of illness so that you're either physically incapacitated or mentally incapacitated, and it can happen in just a very short time. I know my own father had a stroke on Sunday afternoon, and Tuesday night he died. He didn't know he was going to have a stroke on Sunday afternoon. Nobody warned him because nobody knew. And he was gone just that quick. Or you can get killed in an accident. And the way people are driving here in Nashville, it's very likely that you're going to have some kind of an accident. Or you can say, Christ can return in my lifetime. He can come back. And if He comes, then I can't, I can't do anything that I need to do to prepare for Him, because He's already here. If I have never obeyed the gospel, if I've never been baptized into Christ, when Christ comes, I can't do that, can I? Or if I need to go to somebody whom I have offended and ask their forgiveness, when He comes, I can't do that. Or if I've lived in sin or just neglected my obedience to God and I need to be restored, I can't do that after He comes. He's already here. So when do I need to prepare for the coming of Christ? Today. Right now. Jesus said in Mark chapter 13, "But of that day and hour knows no man, no, not the angels of heaven, neither the Son." Jesus said, "I don't even know, but the Father, who, without respect of persons, judges according to every man's work." Pass the time of your sojourning in fear. The rest of the time you live here is what He's calling your sojourning or your temporary living here on earth. Pass that time in fear, respect for God, and obedience, because He could come any time. Watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. I dare not waste time. How many hours, and this is what we each one of us ask ourselves, how many hours a day do I waste sitting and watching that television? Is your soul uplifted after you've watched this television program? Are you closer to God after this program is over? Has it benefited you morally or spiritually? If not, it was wasted time. And I dare not do that. I must watch and be ready. Maybe you heard about these boys that were waiting along the road for a bus to take them, pick them up and take them to a church camp where they were going to be there a couple of weeks. And they were afraid that they'd miss the bus. And so they said, "Well, let's get down here on our knees and pray." And while they were praying, the bus whizzed by. One boy said, "I can't understand that. We were praying." The other one said, "Ah, but the Bible says watch and pray." And they weren't watching. What do we watch for in this life? What do we expect to happen in any given day? Well, you hope that bad things won't happen to you, but realize the possibility of that. Keep your eyes open, not only for bad things to happen, but keep your eyes open for opportunities to do good. And read from the Word of God every day. Pray often. And if you ask the Lord to open a door for you, recognize when that door is open. And go on through that door of opportunity and do what you can. First Thessalonians 5 and 6. "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." People can be asleep spiritually. People can be asleep in a worship assembly. Sitting there asleep. Spiritually, maybe physically you're awake, maybe your eyes are open, but you can be asleep spiritually. Now, how much work can I do if I'm asleep physically? How much work? Absolutely none. How much spiritual work can I do if I'm asleep spiritually? None. None whatsoever. He said, so I can't do that. 1 Peter 1:17, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of person judges every man according to his work, pass your time of your sojourning in fear. And then Peter says in 1 Peter 4 and 2 that he no longer should live the rest of his time to the flesh in the lusts of men, but to the will of God. That is to resolve today that I'm going to spend the rest of my life to the will of God. Everything that I do from now on is going to be things that I know that God wants me to do. It's going to be His will. Can we do that? What if I do that and then fail? What kind of a condition am I in? I am simply one who needs to pray for guidance, pray for courage, pray for forgiveness, pray for strength, so that I can get back on the track. Living this life as a Christian is just like living on a steep, slippery slope. It takes effort to walk up that hill that's so slippery, doesn't it? And it's so easy to fall down. And what happens when you fall down? You get all dirty and muddy, don't you? And then what do you need? You need to be cleaned up. So when we're walking in our life, we're walking on the mud and mire of sin. We need to keep above that. Because when we slip and fall, we get ourselves all covered with filth of this world. We get ourselves spiritually filthy dirty. Then there's only one cleansing agent. Soap and water won't do it. There's only one cleansing agent that can make us pure and clean and white again. And that's the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. And if we have already obeyed the gospel, what we need to do is what Simon the sorcerer was told to do. He had just obeyed the gospel and already sinned. He had already fallen down in the mud. And the apostle said, repent and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Did that cleanse him? It cleansed him. And if you repent of your sins and ask for forgiveness, God is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Is that right? Did he promise that? He certainly did. If I'm asleep spiritually, and this is our text for today, Romans 13:11-12. If I'm asleep spiritually, the time has come that I might be awake. Now this is the answer to our question, what time is it? And here's the answer. And that knowing the time, it is now high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. What's he saying? The darkness of this world is only temporary, and the light of Christ and eternity is at hand. So let's cast off the works of darkness, which is all worldly pursuits, all pursuits of pleasure and lust and greed. Let's get rid of all of that. It's high time that you wake up to where you are as opposed to where you need to be. God's looking at your life. He knows what you are. I don't know what you are because I can't read your mind. I don't know what's in your heart. But God's looking at you and He knows what you are. Ask yourself, is He pleased with me, what I am today? Or is He displeased with me knowing that I need to put something out of my life or I need to put something into my life? I'm not complete spiritually. Where do I stand? And how much time do I have to get myself ready? Spiritual sleep can cause the loss of life. You can die in your sleep. You can die spiritually, just like you can die in your sleep physically. Ephesians 5:14, "Awake, you that sleep, and arise from the dead." If you don't have Christ in your life, you're as good as dead. You don't have anything else. What is there in this life except Christ that's of any lasting value at all? There's nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing in this life that makes me want to stay here decade after decade. Nothing here that would want me to do that. Because I know that everything here is temporary. I know that my body is wearing out. I know that infirmities happen. And I know that I'm going to die. I began and I will end. Everything here has a beginning and it has an end. That's why we can't understand eternity. Something that is and never started. Something that is and will never stop. We can't grasp that. But we don't need to. What we need to look at is our life, knowing that we're here and that we're not always going to be here. And when we leave once. A lady used to work for me, and she said, "Mr. Wright, I wouldn't mind dying if it weren't for so long." When you die, it's forever. You don't come back to this earth anymore. You're gone. What is left undone in my life that I need to do? When am I planning to do it? Now, what do I want to be doing when Christ comes? Barbara and I were talking yesterday about a man who was preaching and died during the sermon. He was doing something for the Lord when he left this earth. And I said to her, "That's what I'd like to be doing." And you know what her answer was? "You told me you didn't want to do anything that would upset disturb the worship." Now, if that wouldn't disturb the worship, I don't know what would. But the point is, in my life, I want to be having the right attitude. I want to have the love that I need to have when I die. I want to be right with God. I want to be right with my fellow man. Don't you? Of course we do. What's the conclusion of this? What time is it? It's time to make my heart right with God by obeying the gospel, if that's what I need to do, or by being restored, if that's what I need. That's what time it is. It's time for you and me as Christians to begin a new chapter in our lives, to begin a time of service to God like we have never done before. Put every effort into it. That's what time it is. There's no more time promised us. If you need to obey the gospel this morning, I know you have faith in God or you wouldn't be here. You have faith in Jesus Christ. What you need to do is build on that faith, be willing to confess Christ before this assembly. You need to repent or turn away from your sins and be baptized into Christ, which will wash away your sins. They're all gone after you do that. then you're a Christian. Then you have a hope of salvation. Then you're saved. But once you do that, once we have done that, we can fall away, can't we? We can fail of the grace of God. And when we do that, we need to be restored. We need to repent and pray God. Maybe you need to come before this assembly and confess that you've sinned and ask for the prayers of the church. If you have that need, would you come right now as we stand and sing?